Taylor Swift used her opening number at the Grammys to take a pot shot at her ex-boyfriend, Harry Styles, from the boy band One Direction. As if we weren't sick enough of hearing her croaking about her ex-boyfriends as it is, Taylor was put on stage with a bunch of equally annoying clowns.
Speaking of clowns, Chris Brown got beaten by someone his own size. As Frank Ocean accepted the award for Best Urban Contemporary Album, his rival, and maybe ex-boyfriend, Chris Brown remained seated while the rest of the audience gave him a standing ovation.
Today, Brian Sweeney joins us to dish the dirt on the Grammys, otherwise known as the awards show for music they play in restaurants, elevators, and malls.
Why most pop stars were dressed as food.
Is musician Ed Sheeran HIV positive?
Rihanna gets cozy with Chris Brown.
And Ellen has 99 problems, but Beyonce ain't one of them.
Plus, Madonna is now on Instagram, taking photos of herself giving blowjobs to cocktails.
And epidemic of do-it-yourself penile enlargements hits men's prisons.
And cake-baking star Duff Goldman offers the lesbian couple denied the wedding cake of their dreams a free one on their big day. The couple accepted.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is simulcast off of Rihanna's forehead. Joining us is the wonderful Brian Sweeney, who, like most of you, has never heard of most of the songs that were awarded at yesterday's Grammy Awards. Because it's really like the award ceremony for music at the mall. And on the radio, and you know, whenever you're at the gym and you don't have a choice into what to listen to, it's the music that they awards at the Grammys.
And you're like, you better listen to this because it's getting a Grammy.
Yeah, because I'm not familiar with half the songs that were like, I was like, Taylor Swift sang that song? That's annoying. That is one annoying song.
Oh, I hate that song.
I had never heard that until somebody's like, how did you not hear that song? It's everywhere. And I'm just like, I don't, maybe I've heard it. Maybe I don't know.
We are never, ever
getting back together. Never, ever.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then as soon as they said it, it was just like, I started hearing it everywhere. And now I'll never forgive that person.
Yeah, and that was our friend. I don't know. It's like, I'm sure that it must be a lot of fun to date Taylor Swift and wonder if your love life is going to be the subject of the next song.
Maybe. I mean, come on. Did she even write that song, really?
Well, she actually, like, dissed her ex-boyfriend from the guy, the little guy from One Direction, Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. She was, like, on stage and, like, trying to pretend like she had a British accent and says, I'm sorry, I have to do the opening number for the Grammys.
Well, she was so surrounded. She dates gay men, is what
probably, it is. Yeah, maybe so.
Because One Direction, small direction, are the butt. All gay.
Yep.
Yeah, if One you're Direction up the butt. Taylor Swift. You know, because gay men get excited about Taylor Swift. Look at what happened to Kanye.
Oh, well, he just couldn't contain himself.
He was like,
we're all hoping that he would jump up there this year and be like, okay, I'm putting a stop to this shit right now. But no, as if it's not bad enough to hear Taylor Swift sing that song, that she has to do it with clowns. Nobody likes clowns. Although I have to say, one of the clowns was a drag queen, so that was okay.
That was good, you know. Yeah. I'm a clown fucker. Mm-hmm. I'm attracted to Ivy White on RuPaul's Drag Race, who is a bona fide clown and drag queen.
So is Penn Jillette. From Penn and Teller. He went to clown college. He was a clown, yeah.
And he has sex with other guys as clowns?
Yeah, and he's on RuPaul's Drag Race this season. You guys should tune in. It's a weird season.
Well, I mean, did you like Taylor Swift's opening number, or do you think it was like the most annoying thing of the evening?
Brian?
It
was hot. It was stupid.
It was dumb and stupid.
It was a dumb song. It was a dumb routine. The only thing I like about it is, like, I think she knows that people are really sick of that song and everybody knows it's a stupid song, because you kind of feel as like she was doing it almost like a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
She was phoning it in.
The song was fine, but it's disposable. Like, it's not gonna... But this is also... We're older, because I know you hate... But, like, I'm old. I'm 33 now. Age Christ died.
Oh, you're ancient.
So,
monster.
No.
Get him up on the cross.
So, like, I don't give a shit about Taylor Swift, like, music. Like, not... Well, you know, it's just, like, that's just not my thing. But even in high school, like, I wouldn't have been listening to her.
Actually,
and I sort of miss the days of when I was a teenager and everything was, like, so... black and white of, like, I had such, like, rigidity and an emotional response of, like, fuck everything mainstream. It sucks. Mainstream sucks. And then, like, so, like, I would have never listened to Q10. It's, you know, it's just pop crap that there's, it's always been around.
I also think, too, is people are, like, they're trying to make comparisons because she looks a little bit clownish and, or she's at a circus or something. And didn't Britney Spears do that whole circus thing at the Grammys? And, like, they're, like, posting her face, like, on Britney Spears after, like, she shaved her head. Like, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yeah, it's a curse.
It's a curse, the pop princess curse.
But last year, and actually, I was on the show last year talking about the Grammys.
You were? Yeah. We've known each other that long?
Yeah. Aww. It's been so long. Yeah, we celebrated a glitter day a few weeks ago. Yes.
But we were
discussing Nicki Minaj, remember? She did like a big thing and everyone got up in arms because they were like, that was devil worship, because she did like the exorcism and Rosemary's Baby and upside down crosses.
Roman Zelansky.
So I'm pretty sure that they were just trying to make it as white bread and horrible as possible. Like,
because they did put out that edict, like, no side boobs, don't show your butt, girls, don't do any of that stuff.
But Katy Perry figured out a way to show her boobs, and they got everybody paying attention, including Ellen DeGeneres, who cannot keep her eyes off of it.
I heard Ellen DeGeneres, when she saw him, they were like, what do you think of Katy Perry? And she actually said,
did she really?
Yeah, and her eyes popped out.
Well,
and,
you know,
and then her heart started beating out of her chest, and she was like,
"Cause well, one bitch won't do, another bitch will."
Hell
and
yeah.
It's like Portia. She doesn't have any tits. She starved them off with her anorexia. Mm-hmm. She probably doesn't have anything there. So listen, she's just like, "Look at those."
You sound like Monique. She's like, what? "Baby, you gotta eat something if you want some nice tits."
Who gonna make me feel good? Huh? Who gonna make me feel good?
Who's gonna love me?
Who's gonna grab on my big titties?
Who gonna love me, Mariah Carey with a mustache? Who gonna love me, mustachioed Mariah?
But you were saying like the fat. We were talking earlier about the fashion of
the fashion. How dare you speak this way of Adele?
The fashion of the Grammys, and that, you know, bloggers are saying that the most pop stars were dressed as food, and saying that Katy Perry's dress reminded them of pistachio ice cream, that Adele's dress reminded them of a chocolate cupcake with, you know, sprinkles on top,
and Beyonce looked like one of those cookies that's half black, half white.
Katy Perry reminded me of milk. Is anyone? No one else have thought of milk? All right, because she had big
jugs,
boobs.
Baby.
Yeah.
Well, you liked her tits and you
watermelons.
There's a thing going on the internet where it's like Paula Deen, like with Katy Perry's face superimposed over Paula Deen's face, and it says if you change out, you know, Paula Deen's face with Katy Perry's face, it's still Paula Deen, and it really does look like that. I posted it on Facebook, and Fausta's mom writes, "Who cares?"
Katy Perry.
I was just like, oh,
just put some butter on it. You're all right. Katy Perry is Paula Deen's story. Yes, Katy Perry is Paula Deen in the John Goodman story. Katy Perry is, I feel like, the most famous pair of tits that there ever was, except we pretend that she's not famous for her tits. We actually pretend like it's because we care about her music.
That song, though, that first came out, like, I kissed a girl.
Right.
That was an anthem.
But we keep it up,
yeah,
so to speak. And if you read any article or interview with her, there will be a reference to her breasts, like, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And every photo shoot she does is something with her boobs. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm all for it.
She's the fertility goddess feeding the world.
And guys are just pouring seed onto the ground constantly for the next harvest.
So
the fashion, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the fashion.
Adele looked like she walked into a room and just was like, I'm going to wear this room's at wallpaper, because it was just, I don't know what she was wearing. She looked like Dolores Umbridge from the Harry Potter things. I was just like, it was a weird choice. It looked very English, though. I have to, you know, kudos for that.
Adele looked like she got there and saw her reflection and said, oops.
It was not a flattering dress for a large girl.
No.
And Adele has worn things that really looked beautiful. This was like very tight. The pattern.
It looked like a chair or something.
Yeah, it looked like upholstery.
Yes.
Yeah, it was just not very flattering. Florence Welch, Florence and the Machine, looked, people saying she looked like a head of broccoli.
Well, she had horns, which is kind of fun, though.
It's like an STD dress. Jennifer Lopez tried to pull that same Jennifer Lopez leg routine again. Tired.
There was a lot of Angelina Jolie.
That was Angelina Jolie at the Oscars. That's who the leg was. And so she was doing the same thing.
Almost, if you look at the pictures of all of them, of almost all of the females, Angelina Legg is all over everything, mm-hmm. and Rihanna's forehead.
And the one that
which makes Tyra Banks's forehead look quaint. Like Rihanna's forehead
is enormous.
Yeah, like that's some Godzilla versus Metatron shit going on.
What would
Metatron?
Happen if it was Christina Ricci versus Rihanna? Those foreheads. Mm. What would happen?
I think Rihanna beats out Christina Ricci's forehead, but I'm not sure.
Rihanna hanging out in the audience with Chris Brown.
Oh no,
getting cozy. In fact, that's just, I'm surprised that they're back together.
They've just been hanging out left and right. They've done music together. They're buddies. She's
this
just like,
happened.
You beat me into fame and fortune, honey.
Yeah. When I look at Rihanna, I think of beating something. Am I right, folks? Because she's hot and I masturbate to her. That was a joke. But Chris Brown, we just need to get over it. Like, because Rihanna has obviously forgiven the gay guy Chris Brown. And
Chris Brown is still in the news for being a dick.
He just got into a fight with Frank Ocean, and then Frank Ocean won an award for Best Urban Contemporary Album, and everybody got up, gave him a little applause, mm-hmm. but not him. He just sat there because, and just like clapped a little bit.
And
like,
actually,
whatever.
I think Chris Brown was in the right, because that's fucking pandering and placating. Like, oh, it's the guy who wrote a Tumblr post about how he loved a boy once. We should all just get up and clap for this brave young soul. It's like, enough. Like, calm down.
Oh, your heart is black, bro.
Listen,
it is.
Let me explain to you a little context of why why it's a good idea to reward somebody who is coming forward with their sexual orientation, even if it seems tired and cliche. Because a lot of these rap singers and soul singers and urban singers, musicians, some of them are closeted gay men. I think Will.i.am is closeted. I think Kanye is closeted. Mm-hmm. And for someone like Frank Ocean to have a commercially successful album, coming out of the closet takes a lot of guts and is a risky thing to do and deserves his risk. And this award ceremony is celebrating people who are pioneers, who are risky artists. I think that deserves a standing ovation for sure.
I agree that it's completely risky. Not just the lifestyle of a gay man, but coming out as gay
wouldn't stand up and give him a standing ovation
for that? But it just seems so smug and like white liberals just patting themselves on the back for being okay with it.
The people sitting next to Chris Brown were standing up.
Yeah, even Chris Brown's date stood up and he didn't.
Chris was probably like rubbing his dick, being like, I wish I could get in that.
He probably had a boner and didn't want to get up and show.
No, because he has his knees broken from the fight that he got in with Frank Ocean.
But Frank Ocean did have some bandages on his hand, so I wonder if that's left over from the incident. Who knows?
Well, there is. I know that Chris Brown did bruise his windpipe with Frank Ocean, so that might have been. He might have just been feeling under the weather
from
with
like Frank having Ocean, his cock go all the way back. Yes. There? Is that how that happened?
That is how it happened. Chris Brown's doctor and I talk, and that is how it happened.
Elton John's duet that kicked off with Ed Sheeran, who I have no idea who.
She-Ra. Wow,
She-Ra.
Princess of Power. She-Ra.
And they did a song called "The A Team," and they're performing on stage, and then and everyone's like blogging. Is Ed Sheeran HIV positive because his guitar has an orange plus sign on it? Does anybody know anything about this?
Did you Google, is he positive?
No, there's no confirmation.
There's no confirmation whether he's HIV. Well, why
but
else
he's
would
not
he
have gay. He's not gay. He doesn't
have AIDS. Well, there. That's it.
Well, he could have had it from like needles.
Nope.
That's how white people get AIDS.
Well,
how
Annie Lennox came out as a HIV and AIDS advocate, and she wore a t-shirt that said HIV positive, and then went 10 minutes into a video explaining why she's not HIV positive.
But that, like, we're all HIV positive.
When one person's HIV positive, we're all HIV positive.
Well, maybe he's, you know, because he did that duet with Elton and their buddies and their friends. And, you know, Elton gives a lot. He gives a ton, a shit. Like, as much as we make fun of Elton John, he has done so much for AIDS research. He's given so millions and millions and millions of dollars.
He has done a lot of research.
Yes. Into it. And so maybe he's just doing a little,
belly
like,
of the
here's
beast
to you. You know, because it used to be like back in the day, like on the hobo trail or whatever, they would put little markings like at a house, like this people will feed you or stay away from here, they'll shoot mm-hmm. you. And so it
might Don be Draper, one of those little, Mad Men.
Exactly. It's one of those little things that just kind of like a little signifier for those in the know to see.
So if
it'll
he's
make
like,
Jack McEnroth happy.
So if it, so he's going to be like having sex after the Grammys, we know we don't have to ask him of his HIV status because we saw it on his guitar.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a tramp stamp that says biohazard.
Right.
The biohazard symbol. I actually asked a guy that one time. I said, why do you have a biohazard tattooed above your ass? And he's like, because I like how it looks. And I'm like, you know, that would be interpreted as if you're HIV positive. Are you HIV positive? And he says, no, I'm not. And it was like the biggest like, oh, fuck.
I assume if they have a biohazard thing that they are probably HIV positive.
This guy didn't. And he was like, I just liked how it looked. Man, I saw it on other guys.
Bloodborne pathogens, watch out.
Yeah.
The orange plus sign. No, it's his like, for some reason, it's his logo, yeah.
Because he's HIV positive.
And they even,
yay for him.
Yay, Ed Sheeran's HIV positive.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Way to go, Ed.
Congratulations.
We're all HIV. See, in on the bottom of his album,
as a plus
sign. Little plus sign.
There you go.
So he's letting all the other albums know. just so you guys know, you better wrap it up. I mean, I don't care. Maybe
they're
don't
already pre-wrapped, when they, aren't they?
CDs come with shrink wrap, people. Yes.
All CDs come
safe.
Adele's cupcake dress was fantastic, but she won the best pop solo performance to Set Fire in the Rain.
Oh,
big surprise.
Song.
And,
she didn't sweep like last year, though.
No,
there was
nobody
dominated
did,
this year. It was all kind of like, let's spread it out and spread the love out to people so that it doesn't all go onto one diva.
Did they really play I Got 99 Problems But a Bitch Ain't One of Them when Ellen and Beyonce came out on stage together?
Yes, they did.
Why did they do that?
The only thing, because they were introducing JT, my boy Justin Timbo's, and he was about to do a song with Jay-Z? I don't know. They played 99
Problems, but a bitch ain't one of them. I don't even know how the song goes.
I got 99 Problems,
but a bitch
ain't one.
They were cute, though, together, Ellen and Beyonce. Yeah. They were real fun. I almost wanted to see them make out a little bit. But
it's always fun to see like all the celebrities kind of interacting with each other and doing duets. And it was, you know, I enjoyed watching Bruno Mars and Sting. Actually, didn't watch it.
I watched a little bit.
I was just like, I was looking and I was like, I can't watch this shit. I could change the channel.
And Justin Timberlake was adorable. You know, he sings like a black man.
Yeah, man.
He does.
I was like, Michael Jackson's back from the dead.
Yeah, he is very Michael. He's always been, but that's his thing. Is
I'm bringing sexy back.
I didn't think the Justin Timberlake song, I was very underwhelmed.
Yeah, what'd you think of the sepia tone?
It was stupid,
yeah.
But whatever.
I liked it when somebody tweeted, like, oh, the Grammys has gone from sepia tone to back into color. Watch out, Taylor Swift. Somebody's going to drop a house on you.
I have heard that if you line up the Grammys with Dark Side of the Moon, it fits perfectly.
Yes, it does.
But more importantly, Madonna is actually starting to post photos, uncensored, unedited photos of herself with her cell phone on Instagram.
Oh, finally. Thank God.
Has there ever been a photo on Instagram that's not like unfiltered? I mean, this is all about filters and covering up your flaws.
But I think the fun thing about Instagram is that you take a photo that you just shot with your cell phone and you put a creative little filter on it and you post up there. And Madonna's not exactly the most refined or
photogenic
person
or
these days.
Stylized person. Yeah.
And so it's fun to see her out of context. Like her first photo was her sucking on a cocktail.
Whoa.
From above. And it basically looks like
that was way
Kim
misleading, Fausto.
Kim Kardashian sex tape. It looks like she's got like a cock in her mouth.
Yeah. Though. It looked like Ray J was just plowing her. Mm-hmm. That's what I
figured. And she had these dark circles around her eyes. It was like, it was an unflattering photo. And I think actually deserves to be like applauded that she's posting weird photos of herself.
And now she posted something where like she's taking a bath and it's like,
she's not taking a bath. She's at the gym doing cardio.
There's a bathtub behind her.
Oh, I thought it was she was doing cardio. And she says, I'm addicted to sweat.
I'm addicted to sweat. So it's like you see her tits and then her chin and her skin on her face. It looks as though somebody has sandblasted it to like such refinement. You know, it's like it's just like it's polished.
Yeah, it shines like a. It's just the shiniest latex. It's just scary. It looks like a sex doll. It looks like the Madonna real doll is what we're dealing with here.
We all should be that lucky to look that good.
But she doesn't have a turkey neck.
Yeah, I think she looks fantastic. And I, you know, I hope when I'm a AARP member, I look as good as she does.
It's just around the corner.
You know, I,
AARP
so
is 50, right?
Yeah, or 50 or 55.
I think it's 50.
A lot of people are reacting to the photos. They're like saying, "You go, Madonna, embrace your ugly side," or whatever. And other people are just like, "How can you post these pictures of yourself on Instagram? Horrors!" And you know, so
because it's non-glamorous.
It's very unglamorous.
I expect it to be glamorous.
I like this. Is what I was promised when Madonna in the 90s. Put out her sex book, says, "I'm going to be real. I'm going to be a gritty, gritty hardcore grandma. Performer, musician, and you're going to grow old with me, and you're going to see me get old and see me get gritty and ugly." Aww. And this is the Madonna I was promised. And finally, she's delivering it.
That's a very beautiful sentiment, Fausto.
And, I think so. I'm happy. Well,
I don't understand how the sex book where she's fucking made up completely. Like, she was probably in makeup for 4 hours before the sex
the
book.
The sex book was when it came out.
Vanilla Ice's balls on her face.
When the sex book came out, it
and
was.
And Big Daddy Kane.
When the sex book came out, it was very gritty in contrast to what other pop stars and musicians of her kind were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was,
and it was like
deal.
Pictures of her in a very compromising positions. Even though she looked flawless and they were probably airbrushed, she also was having sex with like weird old guys, having a three-way with Naomi
Campbell and Big Daddy Kane. And Vanilla Ice was in it.
Having sex with Vanilla Ice should be humiliating to
everyone.
How dare
you? Kidding? He was so, he's still hot to this
he
day.
He is the most.
Still have sex with Vanilla Ice.
It was humiliating.
I just had sex with Vanilla Ice.
A beautiful body and a handsome face.
Pumping gas in heels.
More like hot baby.
Naked. You know, there's just a bunch of pictures that were really edgy.
And she told a.
And crazy.
And then, in between, there was sex stories. Like one
those
time,
we didn't watch it. We didn't buy the book for this. For
no,
the
I know. But
we
I
watched, bought it for the photo.
I heard the book fall apart.
Yeah.
I had a friend, much like Madonna. I had a friend who's like
terrible.
One of the stories is about like the hottest sex she ever had when she was 15, and then like at the very last, she's like, "I got crabs, but it was still super hot," or some shit like that. The end.
Well, I've never gotten crabs in my entire life.
Well, good for you.
That sounds like a dare.
And I've had crabs.
Challenge
twice.
Accepted.
I've even had crabs when I was dating you. And wow. You didn't catch it.
I'm lousy.
I think I might be crab resistant.
Yeah, well, it's because you don't have any. You're like bald down there.
Nice.
I'm not bald.
You're basically like a 14-year-old girl.
You got Kojak sack.
I have hair.
Kosack.
Got a full head of hair.
Somebody's trying to spread a rumor on the internet that actor Lou Ferrigno is awesome.
That's cool.
And it's not a rumor that needs to be spread because he is an awesome guy. But so somebody signed a receipt, you know, because you remember Pastor Bell, the African-American pastor who went to a restaurant and only gave 10%.
Didn't give anything. She said she didn't give anything. Why should I give you 18% when I give 10% to my church, to God?
10%
so she gave
to God.
No tip.
She says she left some cash.
She said, sugar? Yeah. It was an amazing story that a black person didn't tip well. It really broke the news
open. I'm surprised they said black and not Canadian.
Okay, so anyways, so the internet tore Pastor Bell a new one, and she apologized since then. Now, somebody's like trying to pass a receipt off as Lou Ferrigno saying, "I always give 110%, which, you know, it's awesome if it really was Lou Ferrigno. But then someone else caught the fact that they signed the person who signed their name signed it with one R.
Well, Lou's not the brightest guy.
Hey,
so maybe he's not.
He's just part
but see,
death.
I went started Googling Lou Ferrigno's signature, and Lou Ferrigno signs his name differently with two R's. So I'm guessing that person was another bodybuilder that looked like him trying to pass the illusion
who
that
looks
Ferrigno
like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, can you imagine you look like Lou Ferrigno, but you're not Lou Ferrigno? That is horrid. But I do think that
he's a good looking guy.
I saw Lou Ferrigno this past springtime, and I got to tell you, he looked fantastic. He's like 6'1" or 6'2". He's big. He's built. He's still together. It looks great.
I wish I looked as good as he did.
Lou Ferrigno also knows that it's a mathematical impossibility to give 110%. So that's why I don't think that it's true.
You can give 110%.
That's impossible. Yes. You can only give 100%.
Go above.
That's not true.
How can you give more than 100%
so
mathematically?
Because here, let me mathematically.
Yes.
Yeah.
200% is twice as much.
That doesn't make sense. Because there is no such thing as 200%.
Yes, there is.
No, actually, in mathematics, well, okay, let's if you interpret percentage as a division of a object, yes, you're
of
right.
Of a whole, yes.
Of a whole. That's but whole.
But it doesn't work that
but
way.
But percentage yes, can be interpreted, and we actually had this discussion on the show in the past, can be interpreted as a ratio of two numbers, and you can give 200%,
right,
which is
what
twice
percentage
as much
of this is to this, and you're like, oh, well, that's 200% of that, really.
So then what would be 110% of a tip?
Well, let's
do you really think like of a tip for $100 he's giving $110 for the
yeah,
tip?
Yeah, maybe. So if he spent $100,
well, he's Italian. They tend to overtip. They're the opposite of blacks.
So why is somebody trying to pass off Lou Ferrigno as a good guy?
For pussy.
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to create a new internet meme and just they ran out of different things.
They're probably pissed off at Mark Ruffalo's The Incredible Hulk now, and everyone's talking about him. It's like, fuck Ruffalo. I'll show you who did this shit right.
Or maybe they just don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they're like, let's go pick Lou.
Lou's always been like an unsung hero. Yeah. You know, he's a real nice guy. He's partially deaf in an ear.
His father's a fucking asshole.
His father's
an asshole.
If you watch
Pumping Iron, like, he is the biggest
dick
face.
Did you know
when
I found out his father never took part in any of his training whatsoever, and the whole thing of him being in Pumping Iron helping him train was all a put on for the camera?
Yeah, he was a giant cocksucker. And he, much like...
cocksucker's a good thing
on this
show.
Much like Chris Brown.
Okay, let's get that straight, yes. All right?
He was a giant... but
the more cocks you can suck, the better you are.
He sucked the cock of the devil there. and not like a cool devil, like Molly Crow devil, like the bat guy. He sucked a withered cock. Anyway, but Lou Ferrigno also, I don't believe, used steroids... And Arnold Schwarzenegger has admitted
they
all use steroids. When they're big like that, they're doing something.
I'm not as cynical as you to believe that the Incredible Hulk uses steroids.
It's cell tech is what they were using. Okay, let's talk about penis news.
Yes.
So that's because sucking conk, an epidemic, we talked about this earlier last week, of penile enlargement, do-it-yourself penile enlargements, is ravaging men in men's prisons, especially in the third world.
Well, and this story that we reported on last week actually happened in Australia, and they had 6% of the people there that were putting like stuff underneath their skin, like dominoes or pen caps, that kind of stuff, because they were trying to, like, I don't know, do some kind of sensation or make it bigger. But
pen
in Thailand,
caps?
They just had to
take the pen cap off, cut a hole in your dick, and slide it in.
Oh, yeah. That's hot.
Yeah, so it's a little crazy.
How do you piss? I guess you make another
underneath
hole?
Underneath the surface of the skin. To think of it as like...
Here, I'll pull out my dick and I'll show you.
Why do you need such a big dick in prison? Like, can't you just get by with your dick? Like, it's like, I'm not...
You know what it is? I think they're in prison, they get bored, and they're like, well, I want to do something with my dick. And I think when you go in prison, you go a little crazy. And, like, a bad idea all of a sudden becomes a good idea. Yes. Or maybe the bad ideas were always good ideas, and that's why they're in prison.
So you, like, the pen cap in the dick is akin to, like, just starting Sudoku. Because you're like, oh, might as well. And you're like, oh, somebody left this around.
I'll do it.
I could see that.
But in Thailand now, they're having an outbreak of people that are doing like these back alley penis enlargements. And one guy actually just recently had to have his penis removed because it developed cancer. Because he kept injecting it with olive oil.
So I thought olive oil, he should have used grapeseed oil.
Well, either I bet any oil would probably be bad, and so he developed cancer in them because what happens is you inject something like this in there, it causes an irritation, it causes inflammation, you get infections and reactions to it, and then cancer can develop, and then off it goes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so that's one of the... never inject anything into your penis. I mean, talk to a doctor first or get your doctor to do it. Because I think some people, like, there's not much they can do to make it longer, but they can make it thicker. So if you have, like, a pencil-thin dick or something, they can put some...
Yes. I mean, what?
Irish curses.
They can put stuff on the side. But I don't know if it's really worth it. Cause
like flames?
Well, no, like...
Just cool
like,
decals? Whistlers? And
just fill it with stuff so it looks a little thicker. But why bother? Just be happy with what you have, I would assume. I don't know.
Well, listen, you know, money is like, penis is like money. The more you have, the more you want.
That's true.
Am I right, fellas?
That's true. Mm-hmm. There was a guy in Malawi who was arrested for selling a penis. So a 45-year-old guy in Malawi, Malawi's the place where Madonna shops for babies. I guess he reportedly cut off some man's penis and balls and was trying to sell it to some woman.
Oh, you didn't say the balls were going to be thrown in. Now balls, I'm interested.
The balls came for free.
You say penis, I'm like, eh.
Yeah, 200 at most.
Yeah, you say balls are included. That's a set.
That's like 400. 360 is like Walmart prices.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is like buying a that's Sam's Club.
Well, the police chief officer says we rushed to the lodge and arrested the suspect. We also recovered the private parts. They had been wrapped in like paper.
Why was he wanting to sell her the penis?
So like, I guess he sells, quote, many body parts to well-known business personalities because in Africa, in some places, they feel that like if certain body parts will make people rich. And there's actually like
Katy Perry showed that.
Yeah. In Eastern, I think it's like Tanzania and Kenya and those places, like they've
where
specifically
president was born, yeah.
Want albinos. And so it's like there's albinos who are like afraid to go out on the street sometimes because they are literally captured, their limbs are cut off or they're killed, and then their body is like dried and desiccated, and they like they sell like albino body powder.
Well, you saw the documentary District 9.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. where the aliens and the, you know, hijack this guy and they want to chop off his insect arm in order to mm-hmm. get
because he
power.
Wants to eat it, so yeah. He's got the power.
It was crazy,
and
man.
They blew up a cow.
Yeah,
with his dick.
Yeah,
he did blow up a cow.
They blew up. That's what they did with the with. That's why they needed to watch District 9. That's why they needed him to have the alien arm thing because he can use the gun. And then they were blowing up cows.
It was awesome.
Or were they
movie.
Goats? Yeah. No, they were cows.
Do you think there'll be a District 9 sequel?
District 10. I don't know.
I don't think so. But I'd love to see one.
They were
didn't spend
saying
a lot
they
of money on
to.
That movie. Though,
no, they
did
didn't.
They?
No, but Peter Jackson got behind that movie, and that's why it became. And it was such a success because there wasn't much money to make it, and so it was good. And they were. I know that they were planning on sequels, but I'm not. But they never got around to it. I guess I don't know.
Because the aliens have to come back.
There's only one sequel that matters, ladies and gentlemen. And that's
Star
that's
Trek.
This May. Star Trek Into Darkness. Check out the New Entertainment Weekly for all the news, except who the characters are.
So we still don't know what's happening.
No.
We don't know anything.
Now, and what's happening with the Star Wars is they're going to have a new movie come out based on Han Solo and Boba Fett.
And Yoda. There's and Yoda? Spin-offs.
Three
spin-off movies.
Separate movies.
Yeah. So far, that's what they said, that they're going to be making... Also
I want them
spin-off.
To do
so are Hansel and Boba yeah. Fett going to get it on? What's going to happen
yes,
there?
Yes, it's going to just be fucking.
Is it anal like, rape?
From what I understand, it took place when Han Solo was young, like a toddler, and they're calling it Star Wars Babies.
I did hear that.
Who's going to play him?
It's going to be animated, and all your favorite characters are there.
It's not going to be animated.
And they're like, yeah, and they're like, Star Wars babies, babies in Star Wars.
Star Wars babies. Back when... you know what I'm interested in is actually them exploring the planet where Jabba the Hutt is from.
Yes, I know, because they're all...
Hermaphrodites. They're
hermaphroditic
slugs
that don't speak English.
No, they all speak English.
They speak
yeah, but in the Clone Wars,
they speak English. They sound like Truman Capote.
They're like, save me, please.
Get me out of this prison.
I'm
going to
die in this prison.
I got a party to plan. I'm going to write you down in my notebook.
Yes.
There's some deep Truman Capote references for you gays out there. Enjoy it.
I don't get it.
Watch a Capote movie.
Capote
okay.
movie.
He used okay. to, yeah.
So,
also the Han Solo thing. They said that they're also possibly thinking of like Harrison Ford as a framing device. Of course, this is just talk.
Oh, as a what do you mean for a framing?
Like
device?
In the beginning, he'll be like,
I remember when I was a young kid.
One time, I remember. Hi, I'm Han Solo. For medic alert. No.
I used to bang Carrie Fisher when she was hot.
I used to shoot first, but now I just shoot blanks.
Nah. I'm married to Ally McBeal. Oh, even that reference is old. Jesus Christ. I was Jack Ryan. Ah, Christ. No one remembers that. Remember Indiana Jones?
There's a new petition online for against DC Comics because they just hired anti-gay writer Orson Scott Card for their new digital adventures of Superman. And they're saying because he's anti-gay, he shouldn't be able to write for such an iconic character. Superman, who was for truth, justice, and the American way.
Hot gay porn. And basically...
The American way, though.
If there's a muscular gay man... And he enjoys comic books even casually. He probably owns a Superman logo t-shirt or has a Superman logo on his ass or goes to comic book conventions dressed up as Superman looking absolutely ridiculous.
Or kryptonite dildo. There's a lot of things. Or just two
pink
balls.
Kryptonite will make Superman go gay, just so you know.
Yeah, two balls that have Lex Luthor's face. Just tattooed on them. Yeah, those gay guys get way overboard with the Superman.
Well, in this new Superman movie that's coming up on the IMDb, it's like, it doesn't say Jimmy Olsen, it says Jenny Olsen.
Yeah.
And now we've been discovering way back even like to the 50s that often Jimmy would be in drag. And there's a movie on Netflix and it has Jimmy in drag. And the one person asked him, was like, why are you dressed up like as a girl? Are you working on his story? He's just like, why do you ask?
Of course not.
So well, what is up with cross-dressing Jimmy Olsen?
I know, well, in the 50s, George Reeves' Adventures of Superman, the black and white one, well, it was color in, like, the last season, but the guy who played Jimmy Olsen was a gay dude in real life, but...
But no, the character of Jimmy Olsen, archetypally, is a crossdresser. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
and
either.
I discovered that during this show. I was like, I started Jimmy Olsen crossdresser, and there's all sorts of comics about it. And even like, ooh, Superman was like, he turns on Superman and becomes competition for Lois Lane. And Lois is like, who's that hot bitch? Stealing my man.
You'd think he'd be able to look through and be like, oh, there's something a little extra down there.
He could see through that.
Mm-hmm. That's like when... it happened in cartoons, it happened in all the Three Stooges. Whenever any of them had to dress like a woman, they would just pick Curly for some reason, who makes the most disgusting woman. And then a guy would invariably fall in love with Curly and be like, please, my heart needs you. And he'd be like, oh, no. And the same thing with Bugs Bunny. Like, Elmer Fudd would just get a huge throbbing boner for Bugs Bunny whenever he's in the wig. And he's like, nah, sorry, Doc. And he's like, oh, but please.
Listen, it's because a lot of the cross-dressers are fucking hot. And
especially bunnies.
Bugs Bunnies and...
Anthropomorphic Jimmy bunnies.
Jimmy Superman gave Jimmy Olsen a little, cell phone, basically.
Oh.
So he could reach him anytime he needed him, whereas Lois Lane had to just hope he'd show up.
Yeah, Superman has a trans person on speed dial.
But also, you're talking about...
In case he gets horny.
But the one that you're talking about, are you working on a story? That's from All-Star Superman, which is a recent Grant Morrison.
No, but I'm talking about vintage Jimmy Olsen. I'll show you after the show. There's also panels on our site, feastoffun.com.
I'm sure on Lois and Clark, there was probably at least one Jimmy Olsen thing where he was in a dress.
Just to be fun. It was meant to be wacky and silly. Yeah. Like, oh, Jimmy Olsen, you're so crazy with those pantyhose.
Well, that was the height of comedy since ever. Like, is a guy dressing up as a girl. Miss Jimmy Olsen. That's one of the names of the... He looks hot. Like, this one's from the 60s.
Yeah, was he a redhead, right?
Yeah. He's really cute.
Bangable.
He looks like... Yeah.
Totally fuckable.
He really is like
I don't think on Smallville, I don't think like the TV show Smallville, I don't think Jimmy Olsen ever cross-dressed, but...
Because it's like, people have started on Facebook talking about Ivy Winters, the contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race, as the hottest male contestant out of drag on RuPaul's Drag Race. Because this season has had a lot of porn stars. Jay Jolie and Detox are former or ongoing porn
starlets.
Porn starlets. But Ivy Winters out of drag is actually a pretty fucking hot guy.
And you'd have sex with him. You're a clown fucker. If he was dressed as a clown, you'd still have sex with him.
We're actually trying to get them on the show in person. They're going to be in town. And there's rumors we're actually going to get Willem, Detox, and the third wheel.
Vicky Vox
on the show.
Because they're coming into town coming up soon. Because their video, That Boy is a Bottom, has gotten over 3 million views on YouTube. That's huge.
And actually, it's a pretty good song. Mm-hmm. It's not a a cover of something, is it?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it is.
Because it's a really strong performance and strong parody.
And it's fun.
And it's fun, and so we're going to get to...
There's a little bit of bottom shaming in there, too. And I think, like, if you're taking up the ass, you should be proud about it, Brian.
I would prefer bottom shaving. Thank you. And I am proud. I'm here and I'm queer and I'm taking it up the ass. Yay.
What?
And you heard that on today's
He said you shouldn't, you should be proud of it, you Brian.
So, Brian.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. Brian Sweeney is gay after all.
Yay.
Who are you gay with?
Nobody. Whomever's there. Warm body. Or cold. 35 minutes after.
I'm just a nice guy.
What's his liver temperature?
Just overly friendly.
Mark and I are going to realize that on the internet, if you're a gay guy and you're looking for sex, the word nice means that you think you're very unattractive.
Mm.
Well, I think that's always been true, though. Like on movies, you say, she's a nice girl, she went out with him. Why do you say she's nice? Why do you mean she's ugly?
No, it's he's got a great personality.
It's great personality.
The great personality is always the killer. Mm.
But if you have nice in your online hookup profile, take it out, because people automatically are going to assume you're ugly. Let them judge for themselves.
And just take it out.
Yeah.
That's just on your online.
Well, that's
just
like
take
the third or fourth picture. You send a couple pictures first to warm them up. If you just start off with a cock shot or an ass shot, you might be moving a little too fast.
Start
for
some off
people.
With like the shaft, but have the spake Zarathustra song from 2001.
Zarathustra.
Boom, 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 boom. And have a monkey around your cock just dancing and having bones and stuff. This is what you people need to do. Maybe you don't want to get laid, but I'm telling you. These are the truths.
Like you would know.
This is how you do it.
You don't know even how to get laid with girls.
it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Like, the straight girls, they'll have sex with anything. They have holes that they make that you can just have sex through for anonymous sex.
Poor single Brian.
Women come with their own glory holes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of the women that listen to the show are terribly turned on by you.
Terribly.
Yeah, I'm sure they're terribly something about me.
You just might find love.
Let's talk about the kids at Sullivan's High School in Indiana.
Well,
Salukes.
It's
I don't know if that's a thing. I guess the Christian conservatives are trying to organize an alternative prom.
What they're calling a traditional prom for traditional couples. Because basically what they want to do is they want to ban gay kids from the school prom, but they know they can't do it because it's illegal. And so what they're going to do is like they're going to hold an alternative prom. And they feel as if they really get the word out and they can get the funding and the people will come and they'll rally to their cause.
Well, they should also have a sign that says no blacks.
Yeah. Well, I would have that.
Blacks can be traditional. They might have traditional couples that will come.
Luckily, blacks hate gays, so like this is where we can form an alliance.
Yeah. That's not true. Actually, they say that that's the reason why a lot of the marriage amendments, that's one of the reasons why the marriage amendments this year passed, is because the right wing changed their message. And like Noam really tried to capitalize on African-Americans' religious beliefs and tried to drive a wedge between the African-Americans and the gays in this last election cycle. But because I think the president came out in favor of gay marriage, the NAACP came out in favor of equality, that they weren't able to capitalize on that, and weren't able to get that wedge driven.
NAACP, the Straight Outta Compton group, is that with Ice Cube?
Yes.
They're for it?
NWA.
See, I would feel like they wouldn't be for gay marriage.
I did not say NWA.
They're against the police, but they're for gay marriage.
You are terrible.
Straight Outta Compton. Our liberal motherfuckers.
NWACP.
But yeah, these people want
just Google what NWA stands for. So if you're sitting at home going, what is he talking about?
Well, and you have to. I'll post a link to this to this whole thing because like they do a news interview and they're interviewing this woman who's just terribly uncomfortable. She's just like, I just think being gay is it's a choice, and they just something happened, and it's just a choice. And you're just looking at this woman like, this woman wants to eat some pussy and just can't come and face the fact that she wants to eat pussy. And she says, "Do you think a gay person has some sort of purpose in life? I don't. I'm sorry, I don't understand it. A gay person isn't going to come up and make some change unless it's to realize that it was a choice, and they're choosing God."
It's like Oscar Wilde once said, Thank you. That was, I don't know. He was gay. Nice. And
what do you think? Is this like a comment on anal sex or not? So Big Felby, who is from a church there, says, Christians have always been prepared for a fight. Jesus gave us armor for the front, not the back. We're not running anymore.
Oh my God. Is he talking about getting the back?
Is he talking about getting it up the poop chute?
I guess. He's like, listen, Christians have killed a lot of Muslims. Like, holy shit, did we kill Muslims? And then we killed as many. Now we're just going to fucking kill gay people. Yeah. What they want to make sure with traditional marriage is that their daughters get fingered in the backseat of a car. And and the gays are going to stop this.
Mm-hmm. They also have a Facebook page too. Annette McCammon writes on it, all concerned citizens of Sullivan are invited to the 2013 traditional couples prom planning. We want this to be a special evening for all the teens interested in attending a traditional prom. This will be just as elegant and special as all proms, but will be for traditional couples. And I'm just kind of like, what the hell do they think is actually going to happen at this other prom?
It's going to be a lame prom. No one's going to have any fun. And I guess it'll be just like the regular prom.
Yeah.
Boring.
I had fun at my prom. And then we stayed out all night and we had a blast.
But I think you're going to have fun hanging out with your friends no matter what you do. You know? And I think that's what people need to remember is don't spend so much money going to your prom. Some teenagers, they blow their savings. On a limousine and corsages and fancy tuxedos.
They've got the money to do it.
And like, if you buy a tuxedo when you're in high school,
well, you're
going to get fat and grow up and like tomorrow, and your tuxedo's not going to fit you. So it's a big waste of money. On Facebook, people are chiming in. Blair Slavin wants to know, so at what point are you going to starve Brian Sweeney so you can make a skin suit out of him?
Ooh. I don't know. What the hell does that mean?
It's a Silence of the Lambs.
No, I know, but why?
Because he thinks that's funny.
But
I think it's kind of funny.
Starve me. He didn't want...
You'd make a real pretty girl.
Yeah, he wanted big-boned girls, not starved. He wanted them to go
in the well and put some lotion on your skin.
Well, no, what he wants to do is he wants to get you while you're big, and then he wants to starve you a little bit. That's why he stopped feeding these girls, so that the skin loosens up on their body.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's hard to remove.
Mimi, I'm first. What the fuck is up with Adele's dress tonight? Now, Mimi should not be throwing any stones.
No.
Because I've seen Mimi wearing some pretty hideous outfits in her day. So, and she's a large girl too. So,
Tony Ashley Foster says, "Why is Brian Sweeney so damn adorable?"
Oh,
really?
What? Because we present him that way.
Oh,
we Photoshop him to be so. Yes.
And Jake Ramsey writes, "I met Ben Cohen at MBGLTACC. He might be hot, but his public speaking needs work. They flew him to Lansing, Michigan, to hear him talk about business model of his foundation because he was recently in town for Equality Illinois Gala, and they took him to the Wiener Circle. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Wiener Circle is a hot dog stand in Lincoln Park, and it's mostly African Americans that work behind the line. And if you come in there, they will insult you, and they will insult you, and you can insult them back.
And if you
call them the N-word, though, because I've seen somebody call them the N-word, and shit gets real.
If you ask for a chocolate shake, they lift their shirts up and shake their disgusting boobs at you. Because they're older black women. Tony Braxton and Halle Berry aren't working there.
No. Well, he was actually hanging out with Lady Gaga's personal chef, Art Smith. Mm-hmm. And so it's Ben Cohen, Art Smith, as his partner.
Pepe?
No, that's the other guy.
I think they're both Pepes.
Was it Pepe? I'm not sure. But so
Pedro.
Pedro. No, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus, Art Smith.
Paco.
And Ben Cohen going to the Wiener Circle. And they're like, this is Ben Cohen. And they're like, it was Ben Cohen. And the woman like flipped him the bird. And so Art Smith took a picture of it. I posted it on our site, feastoffun.com, where you can see a old black woman
flipping black woman.
Ben Cohen the finger. Now, people have asked us, and we've put in requests for Ben Cohen to come on this podcast, and
it has not happened yet.
It's not happened yet. We haven't heard any response. My guess is that Ben Cohen is very apprehensive about coming on a podcast because he's a little tongue-tied. It's hard for him to speak.
He's British. He's
British.
He's Jewish.
So he feels a little nervous and apprehensive. So if you want somebody to come on the podcast, tell him, tweet them, say, hey, Feast of Fun is awesome. and Fausto and Mark are really cool, and they will hold your hand, give you lots of kisses, and make sure you come across awesome.
So and he's in town a lot, I have to say. He Chicago seems almost must be like a second home to him.
He must have like somebody he's very fond of here.
Yes,
that he needs to see over and over again.
Right.
If you know what I'm saying.
You know what we're saying.
Eric Daly, the Grammys are going to be filled with rock stars dressed like polygamists. Discuss.
I don't know what that means.
That doesn't make any sense, Eric.
Eric, get off the drugs.
How did polygamists dress?
Like, I think, like, on Big Love, like, from the 1800s or something.
Oh,
like
he's predicting that dressing up like an Amish or a conservative Mormon is going
to
be hot.
And Roger Powers wants to know, how can I look normal to my straight friends? Roger's got a little bit jealous of my boogie. I posted a picture of myself. He's like, how come when Mark Felian posts a picture of himself doing some muscle flexing, he gets 100 comments and I only get one? And
because Mark Velian is a fucking celebrity, Rogers. Okay? He has a talk show. Lots of people listen to it. This is the weirdest thing about the internet. I mean, and maybe I'm the worst person in the world because I love breaking down that wall, and I think of our audience as I do think of you guys as friends, and if we ever run into each other at the mall or
you know, we got a lot in common.
We have a lot in common and we hang out and we have a good time. And some people like you know, and we have some other people who are celebrities or these drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race or reality TV stars. They see me doing this and they think I'm fucking nuts. They're mm-hmm. like, how can you give your home address to one of your fans? It's like, how can you do this kind of things? And I'm like, because I don't see them as somebody threatening. I see them really as a close friend already. And the problem with that is that sometimes people compare you so much they're like, well, why didn't nobody, you know, repost my blog entry 100,000 times? I'm like, well, because you're not there yet, but you may get there one day. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, I try to post sexy pictures of myself on Instagram and stuff, and I don't get as much love as say someone like Adam Charlton. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's like, what is going on with
Adele?
I'm
just showing a picture because we said that Adele looks like a pole street. So we posted on Facebook a picture of people sitting on her as though she were a couch. It's hysterical.
Okay, that's our new photo.
On second thought, I really love all the attention to detail in Adele's dress.
It's really gorgeous.
Yes. Roger should just whip his dick out, right?
Oh, how to look normal in front of your straight...
Whip it out. Whip it out and just start... It says he lives in Gary, Indiana.
That's a tough question.
Don't whip it out.
How do you pass for straight?
Here's the question.
Move out of Gary,
Nobody
Indiana.
Likes to be around somebody who's not comfortable in their own skin. And I would say that most straight guys are reasonable, happy, comfortable in their own skin people, mm-hmm. Like most gay people are. And they're not going to want to hang out with you if you're like, I'm so worried they're going to know that I'm gay. Talk about it. Brag about it. Be like, I was sucking this dick. It was so hard. Because that's how I talk with you, Brian, right?
Yes, hard
dicks. Be real honest. Of percentage-wise of photos that I text you on your cell phone, how many of them have at least 3 hard dicks in them?
Yeah, I think the majority of pictures that are texted to me from you are dicks.
Yes.
And that's it.
And this is, do I ever text you dick pics? I don't think I do.
I don't think you're respectful.
And I do this to all my straight friends. In fact, I think that you guys enjoy it more than the gay guys do.
That's not true. At least for me. Mark, you did text it to me when you showed me a picture of your birthday party and it was sex wheel thing.
Yeah. That wasn't really me. That was a porn star that I was chatting with online.
No, Fausto isn't, it's not his dick either.
No, I will never show people my penis, but it's like, well, actually, I would show people. If you message me on like on those hookup apps and stuff, I'll send you a picture of my dick. But you have to find me. Otherwise, you know, imagine what it looks like.
It's not that hard to find.
Find Chris Condren. That's what people
that's what
want.
We want to see. We have a letter from a fan, Eric D., who's an amateur slut. That he wrote not to us, but to Brian directly.
Yeah, I think that he's...
he's in love with you.
Well, of course, but I also...
Because you're so lovable.
Yeah, I think that he's sort of intimidated by you two. Maybe. I don't know.
What did he say?
What did he say? Let's hear it.
You fucking make me laugh, Brian Sweeney. You are my favorite part of Feast of Fun, by the way.
Oh.
I need a good geek there to balance out the other side of my personality, which is already well represented on the show. I said, thank you very much. He said, you're welcome, sir. I discovered Feast of Fun when I was informed by a friend last year that you guys spent like a whole episode or most of one covering an article I wrote. The only article I've ever written anonymously because my parents are still alive and don't need to know what a slut I am. I was so instantly annoyed with myself for writing it and not using my real name, but I've been a fan ever since. And it's about the episode 1573, How to Find Sex on the Internet, from April 27th of 2012. And he said, I do like that Fausto called me an amateur, which made me feel somewhat less slutty. I don't know. After sleeping with what seems like half the married men of the SoCal area, I feel the training wheels are off. And that's Eric Diaz from Geekscape.net.
Wow.
So his blog entry was The Beginner's Guide to Anonymous Sex. How to hook up with the risks, the hails and valleys. It was actually a really good blog entry, and so we built a whole show around it and talked about it. If you guys are like have an amazing blog entry that you think would be a good focus for a show, we're always looking for that kind of stuff. Let us know about it. You can share it on our site directly, feastoffun.com/plus. I'm sorry, fresh. Not fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Feastoffun.com/fresh, or on the upper right-hand corner, you can just post it or email it to us or tweet us. And if it's really, really good, we'll either talk about it on the show or we'll invite you to be on the show.
Because mm-hmm. we're doing a show this week, Amazing Beauty Secrets Revealed. So if you have any blog entries on that or any information you want to know, let us know.
And it's stuff that people don't know about, that it's like stuff that we've discovered because people sent us information that's not commonly available that really does work.
Yeah, and some of this is very new. There's actually, and we'll be talking about it later this week, a pill you can take that will make you look better.
And actually,
it's
like
that easy.
Makes you look like a flamingo.
It's called ecstasy.
It's called that.
There's a pill that will make you feel, well, it doesn't really matter what you look like. You'll feel a lot better about yourself.
No, but they actually say, like, if after you take this pill, people look better.
Magical ways to hydrate your skin, how to remove those dark circles around your eyes, how to...
Meredith.
Poor Meredith needs to listen to the show, but...
Oh, we'll give Meredith a free. She can listen to it for free.
Yeah. Poor Meredith. So, thanks so much for writing that really awesome blog entry, Eric. We're always looking for that kind of stuff. And you know, I understand why you didn't want your family to know about it. And certainly, like, I get some shit from conservative members of my family for doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even listen to it. They just, like, they look at the title and they go, oh, my God, this is disgusting. This is pornography. This is... horrible. And I say I don't give a shit.
I was such a joy last week to talk to Jackie Beat about her upcoming hip surgery, and Velvet Patsy wrote on that show, The Bionic Drag Queen, this was a great podcast. I'm glad you touched on the difference in age maturity amongst gay men. Being 38 and in a monogamous relationship for 9 years, I sometimes wonder, shut up, I'm gay and a man, what it would be like to date a hot 22-year-old. It all comes down to a sobering halt when I realize those twinks have no money, haven't read a book since high school, and think Stonewall is a decorative border in their mother's backyard. Now I'm off to pull up the couch cushions to see what I can scrounge up for Jackie Beat. And I looked to see who donated, and there's some people that listen to the show that actually donated to Jackie, and thank you, and Velvet Patsy is definitely one of them. And help that queen out.
Yeah, I think Jackie's going to be all right.
Yeah.
The only thing is that, unfortunately, they're not getting her surgery to replace her heart. Just kidding.
And there's a drag queen out there, and she knows who she is. She texted me and said, I like how Jackie kept saying her character was a real bitch. And I said, please post that on the site. And she's like, I will.
But she didn't.
But she still has not.
Oh, peaches. Oops. I'm going to edit that later.
You edit that
later.
Yeah,
I'll edit that out. But yeah, seriously, like, we love hearing from you guys and love hearing your comments and please write on the site.
Talk
we do read it. We look at everything.
We do. We look.
Even Brian. Brian feels like sad and lonely when you guys don't comment. Yeah.
If we could get 10 comments on today's show, it would like make Brian like really happy, and he'd be so happy. And then when he goes on his other podcast with his buddy Akeem will be real jealous. Because you guys are coming back into production this week. Rye Bread Radio returns.
Apparently this Saturday we shall be back. 3 right. p.m.
What's your show going to be about on Saturday?
Akeem said Thursday.
Thursday's Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, so you're spending it with Akeem.
Yeah. We're
gonna be that's fucking, so romantic. So
we're going to record ourselves just fucking, so it'll be a lot of ball slapping sound. And so if you tune in on Saturday, you'll be able to hear that.
Did you know that in the early days of podcasting, there used to be a podcast?
It was all ball slapping.
That actually was a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about
Gay Sexcapades.
Yes.
And this guy.
And then it became Feast of Fools. And then.
It wasn't this podcast. There was a guy who hooked up with guys on AOL, and he wrote like a little introduction saying, this is the guy, I thought he was really hot, blah, blah, blah. You know, he does this like little 2-minute monologue, and then the rest of the podcast was audio of him and the other guy fucking for an hour.
Super hot, and you get and it was beat like, off to it?
I'm gonna come. Did you come? No, yes.
So
yes.
Wait, the podcast would just last like whatever as long as until he blew a load?
As long as the sex lasted. Yeah, as long as the sex lasted. And so it was like really controversial, obviously.
And he sent you his pic or something, didn't he?
He sent me pictures of himself and said, he was hot. Yeah, he was a good looking guy. And he got into a fight
with Rihanna. No. I heard about that. And Frank Ocean. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another podcaster who later on became a contestant on Big Brother.
And this guy actually gave out the sexcapades home because they got into this fight, so he actually gave out his home address.
He figured out what his home address was.
And so then he put it out there, so whatever. And then a week or two later, the podcast is gone, we don't hear anything, and then we find like he writes to us and he says, my house got burned down, my computer, and he had pictures of his melted computer.
Jesus.
Now we're not saying this person burnt down his house, but
the Big Brother guy gave out the podcast guys.
And so it was like an online flame war that where his literally fans, yeah, it was his fans and the other fans were like attacking each other, and it resulted maybe in somebody with bad intentions catching on to this flame war and said, I'm going to burn down this guy's house. And that's what exactly happened.
Because they did investigate it as arson.
Yeah. And that so that's all. And that's the
part of the reason why we don't
ever
talk about some of these people. People, sometimes longtime listeners will know.
But so, yeah. And so, the moral of the story is when you're fighting with people on the internet, know that there's other people watching it. And some of those people are mentally unstable, and so there's consequences to your words, and that person got hurt.
And the Nerdist will fight back. You just have to realize that.
Chris Hardwick is a mean son of a bitch.
He has ice water
so
in his veins.
And he's vicious,
he's
honey.
Cute.
He's like Mickey Mouse. You don't real cute on the outside, but he'll break your kneecaps.
I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned to the ground. That was on the last Nerdist podcast.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Well, Brian, thank you for doing it.
Thanks for having me, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And you too, Mark. And you too, Fausto. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a
pleasure. And Jimmy Olsen, the cross-dresser.
Yes.
I want to remind people, too, we can't do this show without your help, so please visit feastoffun.com/plus and sign up today if you don't have a Feast of Fun account already.
Yeah, do so. Because the podcast you save will be this one.
This very podcast.
Because, honey, we are
so tight.
It's tight. It's, you know, sometimes it's a losing financial situation here. We need your financial support. So please consider taking your tax return and donating a portion of it to Feast of Fun. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and do so. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a guy who started a musical based on an ex-gay recruitment camp where he tried to do a little bit of research, and the ex-gay camp got really aggressive.
It was called the ex-gays.
Well, I don't know what the name of it is, but
I don't know what it is.
We're gonna play you some music, and he's really cute and funny, and that's coming up tomorrow. And
so he's not gay anymore. That's good though, right?
No, he's still gay.
He's still gay.
So it's didn't
a play
work.
About
it was a wash.
It's a comedy play about
it's a comedy a play a musical about it,
but it was a true story.
No, it became kind of a true story.
He never even went, but he did contact him. He said once he contacted some of these people, they started writing and calling, and they were relentless. They were like, if you, I think this might be, we'll talk about it more on tomorrow's show, but I think it might be a good tack is if everybody contacts these people and pretend like they're a teen and just see what their reaction is and just make them go crazy and overload them with work, and then they'll just quit.
We should just call them on our house line.
Maybe we should.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for listening.
Bye,
bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.